إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعله عوجا الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين As we all know, a couple of days ago we passed the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, the day in which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world according to the overwhelming majority of accounts surrounding the timing of his birth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the blessings and peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. The best thing we can do to commemorate his birth sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or one of the best things we can do, is to reflect on what he represents sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he represents to the world in general, what he represents to the believers, to those who answered his call sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he represents historically sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To do that, we want to reflect on two verses in the Quran. In each of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to his prophet, Ya ayyuhan nabi. So there's several verses of this sort in the Quran, but we want to focus on two. The first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal nabi, hasbuka Allahu wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'mineen. So, O Prophet, Ya ayyuhal nabi, hasbuka Allahu, Allah suffices you, wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'mineen. And there are two interpretations here. The first, and it's a great tiding for us. It's a call for our reflection. So the first way we can interpret this is that Allah suffices you, O Prophet. Ya ayyuhan nabi, hasbuka Allahu wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin, and Allah suffices those believers who follow you. Hasbuka Allahu wa hasbuka وَمَنْ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah suffices you, and Allah suffices the ones who follow you from the believers. So Allah suffices the believers who follow you. Why is this a tiding for us? This is a tiding for us, because oftentimes we find ourselves lacking things in this world. We find that love might be lacking. Who loves me? No one loves me. We find that money is lacking. I need to pay this bill or that bill or the other bill. I need to buy this, that, or the other. I need money. And I don't have either any money, and that's an increasing reality, or a very serious reality for a growing number of people, or I don't have enough money. That's most of us. We feel we don't have enough money. I don't have enough friends. There's no one I can rely on. When I'm down and I need some support, there's no one I can reach out to. I can't call anyone. I can't send a text to anyone. I'm lacking in, my resonance is inadequate. The roof is leaking. The walls are cracked. The windows are drafty. So I need a better house. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us, at the end of the day, all we need is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Hasbukallah wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'mineen. Allah suffices you, and Allah suffices those believers who follow you. If we have a strong relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then we'll find that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala suffices us as a friend. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala suffices us as a source of support. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala suffices us in our cold, drafty house. Because our relationship with Allah Ta'ala and the strength of that relationship and the quality of that relationship will provide a warmth in the depths of our soul that will negate the coldness that we might feel on our skin. Hasbukallahu wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'mineen. We might find that we need support just to walk the streets. Like, it's dangerous on this street. You know, I need an escort. Hasbukallahu. Allah suffices as an escort. Allah suffices as a source of protection. There is no real protection except Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. There's no real protection except Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala reminds us, "Aina ma takunu yatikum al-maut walau kuntum fi burujin mushayyada." Wherever you are, death will find you, even if you're in a built-up, fortified castle. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Say, I'm safe in here. The walls are 4 feet thick. They're not only bulletproof, they're RPG-proof. The ceiling is reinforced with concrete and steel. And as is the basement, no one can drill from underneath and surprise me. There's a ventilation system. I'm in all of this, and I can still breathe. Allah Ta'ala, if He willed, the thing can collapse on you. The castle doesn't protect you. Allah protects you. The castle doesn't protect us. Allah protects us. And if Allah wards off harm from us, there's no one that can harm us. And if Allah has decreed harm for us, there's no one who can protect us. Hasbukallahu. And when we realize that, we don't walk with fear. When we realize that, we realize that whatever protection I have is sufficient. Because that's what Allah has willed, and Allah will do the rest. Allah will do the rest. And there are miraculous stories we can tell in that regard. So when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is related, he used to sleep with weapons next to his bed, with his sword next to his bed. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed to him, Wallahu ya'asimuka min al-nas. Allah will protect you from the people. He pushed the weapons away and just slept on the bed because he believed firmly. Allah said, He's going to protect me from the people. He's going to protect me. And despite the fact that he had enemies who felt that their economic position was threatened by his message, enemies who felt their religious position was threatened by his message, enemies who felt that their social status was threatened by their message. Here he's saying the slaves are equal to us. So he had enemies from many different directions. Despite that, when Allah said he would protect him from the people, he pushed the weapons away. Because he firmly internalized and believed that message. And so the sufficiency that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will extend that sufficiency to us. Allah will suffice us in our livelihood. Allah will feed us. Allah will protect us. Allah Ta'ala will clothe us. Allah Ta'ala will shelter us. Allah Ta'ala will suffice us. But there's one small thing. Well, actually it's a big thing. At the very end of the verse, Ya ayyuhan nabi, hasbuka Allahu wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin. Al-mu'minin. We have to be believers. We have to have firm belief. We have to have internalized belief. Not the belief that the rain can wash off. Not the belief the rain can wash off. The brothers, sisters walking in the rain, dodging raindrops. It's like, brother, what are you doing? I know you have moves. I don't want the rain hit me. Some of my belief might wash off. No, not that kind of belief. The kind of belief our Prophet describes, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said, Laysa ad-deen, and here meaning belief, Laysa ad-deen bit-tamanni, walakin ma waqara fil qalb wa saddaqahu al-amal. That belief is not a fancy, it's not a wish, it's not an imagination. I think I'm a believer. Rather, it's what takes root in the heart and then is testified to by the actions. Laysa ad-deen bit-tamanni, walakin ma waqara fil qalb. وَصَدَّقَهُ الْعَمَلِ So if we're believers, brothers and sisters, Allah will suffice us. The second meaning, so the first meaning, Allah suffices you, and Allah suffices the ones who follow you from the believers. The second meaning, Allah suffices you along with those who follow you from the believers. In other words, Allah will protect you and the believers will protect you. Allah will uphold and defend your honor, and the believers will uphold and defend your honor. Allah will aid your mission, and the believers will assist your mission. حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So again, if we are believers, then we will stand up and defend our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best defense, as they say, the best defense is a good offense. In other words, we won't wait for a crisis to come and then respond to the crisis. There's a person, a well-placed, very insightful person. I was discussing the plight of, he's not a Muslim, this individual. I was discussing the plight of the Muslims contemporarily with him in this country. And he said, you Muslims are like a goalie in a hockey game. So you're just responding to shots on the goal. Said, you know, you get it with the glove, you get it with the stick, you get it with the pads, you get it with the skates. But he says, no matter how good your goaltending is. Unless you go on the offense, the least you can do is tie. 0-0. But you're never going to win. The least you can do is get a tie. Because you're always playing defense. And no matter if you have a sterling defense, it's going to be a 0-0 tie unless you skate up the ice and go on the attack. So the point is, brothers and sisters, we can't wait for crisis after crisis. Just sit in the net. We have to go up. And the best offense is to be a living embodiment of everything our prophet taught us to the extent of our ability. And we'll never be perfect in that regard. But if our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us to be truthful, we have to be truthful. If he taught us to be faithful, we have to be faithful. If he taught us to fulfill our oaths and our covenants, when we convene them, we have to fulfill our oaths and our covenants. If he taught us to be dedicated to our families, we have to be dedicated with our families. This is a beautiful gathering to see sisters holding their babies. There's only one thing more beautiful than that in our day and time, to see these brothers holding their babies. That brings more warmth to the heart. Because we live in an age, this is universal. It's no particular community, no particular faith. But we live in an age where men are abandoning their parental responsibilities. This is one of the signs of the end of time. How so? At the end of time, things will be reversed. Allah Ta'ala tells us, الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men are the protectors and maintainers of women. In our day and time, how many women are maintaining men? قلب الحقائق. Protectors. How many women are left with no protection? How many children are left with no protection? So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasized strong families and he emphasized strong male leadership of those families. And so this is how we defend our religion, by demonstrating it not through our words. When words become inconsistent with actions, the words ring hollow, but through our actions, through our actions. If someone insults our Prophet ﷺ, we defend them, not by raging like a mob, by writing intelligent arguments to refute the falsities that are advanced against him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by organizing ourselves to invite people to come and discourse and dialogue about him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn about his life. But most importantly, by embodying his message within ourselves. Then we don't have to talk. People will meet you and they'll say, there's something about that man. There's something about that lady. There's something about those children. They're not ordinary. They're not ordinary. And we should never see ourselves as being ordinary. We should never be satisfied with being ordinary. Sisters, you shouldn't be satisfied to be like any other woman out there. When Allah Ta'ala says about the women of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, another call, Ya Nisa' al-Nabi, lastunna ka ahadin min al-Nisa'. Oh, you women of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, referring to his wives immediately, but by extension to all the women of this ummah. You are not like other women. لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحْدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. You're not like other women. You carry a mission. You carry a message. You embody a message. You are a spiritual messenger to mankind after the cessation of the prophethood. You reflect the prophetic light. And the same is true for the brothers, of course. But Allah Ta'ala specifically addresses the women in this way. يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء. Don't settle for ordinary, sister. Don't settle for ordinary. There are people who are subordinary, if that's a word, in terms of their womanhood, telling the Muslim women, abandon your femininity like I've abandoned mine. And it's all a denigration of womanhood, of womanhood. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. The man is not like the woman. There are differences. There are qualities that distinguish each one. And they come together to form a whole. This is the great myth of so-called equality. As we mentioned before, first of all, there's not real equality. It's women forced to measure up to male standards. Just yesterday, he said, women can go into combat. And we're not going to make any special provisions for strength. So the woman has to go and pick up a 50-pound artillery shell. Just like the guys. Just like the guys. The woman has to go and have her eardrum shattered by the mortars. Just like the guys. The woman has to experience all the blood and gore. So instead of being a nurturing wife or a nurturing mother or a nurturing sister for those men whose lives have been shattered by the horrific reality of war, especially corporate war, where there's no higher motivating principle except staying alive after you realize the whole thing is a farce. And you're only fighting so KBR can keep getting contracts, doing things that the soldiers used to do, like cooking and guard duty. And when you realize the whole thing's a farce, and then you're seeing all this death and destruction for absolutely nothing, come home and there's no longer a nurturing mother because she's been shattered by the same reality. Because now she can go to combat. And the nurturing role of the woman in society is negated. And the ability to say, where's the equality? The equality is when those two complementary halves come together and make a whole. That's the equality. When the two complementary halves. People say Islam discriminates against women. They don't know Islam and they don't know anything about women. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ, that women are the complementary halves of men. So this equality thing is telling us we can remain equal, all of us will remain one half. We can remain equal, all of us will remain one half, and we'll negate the opportunity to ever be whole. Because the foundation of integrity, this is tawheed at a human level. The foundation of creating a whole integral human being is lost. Is lost. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to be believers. We have to defend. That's something he brought into the world. We can say, oh, you people, you can remain half. You can remain incomplete. You can remain unfulfilled. But we're going to strive to complete our human trajectory. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for the unity between those two parts. One emanating from the male and one emanating from the female. That's our origin and that's our end. But no, we say no. That may be our origin, but once we're in this world, we never become whole. Our wholeness is something confined to the world of the womb. But once we're in this world and we divide again, there's no chance to come back together. No, we say, yes, there is a chance. In fact, it's an imperative. And it's an essential for sound human society. Just as if that union never happened in the world of the womb, that union between the female part and the male part happened, there would be that life would not come into the world. And when that union doesn't happen in this world, and we devastate our families, and we listen to people who are sub-human almost, in the bankruptcy of their ideas, then we never reestablish that unity in this world so that we can give life to the world. And we find ourselves in a situation where at every corner life is being denied. At every corner and every level life is being denied. Spiritual life is being denied. Communal life is being denied. Family life is being denied. International harmony is being denied. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam represented something different. And he represented something better. And he represented an alternative. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to be that alternative. We have to embody that alternative. We have to reflect that alternative. And if we do, there's hope. If we do, there's hope. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين يا قوم استغفروا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله. What we just mentioned is at both a physical and a spiritual level in terms of our wholeness and our need for each other. But to go back to the beginning, our need for Allah, this creates our ultimate fulfillment. And this creates our ultimate completion. And the greatest gift two human beings can give to each other who come together in the name of Allah is to assist each other towards that journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To assist each other towards the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To assist each other to die before their death so that they can both live through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses us to be with those who love His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be with those who respect the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be with those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be with those who want to share the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with others. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuka wa hubba al-amal alladhi wa hubba al-amal alladhi yuballighuna hubbak. Oh Allah, we ask You for Your love and the love of those who love You and the love of those actions which draw us close to Your love. Ya Allah, we ask that You strengthen us. We ask that You make us and bless us to be better embodiments of the teachings of Your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we ask You that You strengthen our families. That You strengthen our families. That You bless our families. Ya Allah, we ask You that You bless all of those who are struggling in various ways, that You bless them with strength and focus and direction, and that You bless them with Your nearness, a nearness that will efface and obliterate any loneliness or alienation or depression or estrangement that anyone might feel while they journey through this world. Oh Allah, we ask you that you give us good companionship, good companions to accompany us on our journey. Oh Allah, we ask you that you make us repositories of positive energy that radiates and touch the lives of others, and that you push negativity and negative energy away from us. Ya Allah, we ask that you make us magnanimous people, people of large spirits and large open hearts, and that you push all manifestations of pettiness and vileness and lowliness and meanness and anything unbefitting the dignity and the honor and the nobility of a believer, that you push it away from us. وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَوْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَنَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.